Welcome back, 4:38, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM WTNT. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. And I'm joined now by Susan Crabtree, Washington Times White House correspondent. Hello, Susan.
Hey there, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Obama offers plan to sidestep deep sequester cuts. I saw a little bit of that this afternoon. My question, I guess, is I guess he's willing to take a little piece of the pie now, but he wants the rest later, or maybe not. I don't know.
He's saying that the offer that he put on the table for his round table for months now, during the fiscal cliff negotiations and even before during the campaign, is basically he wants to couple Medicare, an overhaul to Medicare and other entitlement programs with more tax increases, basically. Mm-hmm. And Republicans say that's a non-starter. So he said that's still on the table today, but he also urged Congress to please, pass this a delay in the sequester because it will, as you know, March 1st is the deadline, and there's $87 billion more cuts that will go into effect on that date. And Obama warned in very grave terms today that that would have a terrible effect on the economy and as well as the Pentagon.
All right, but let's be clear about something. Wasn't it Obama that pushed for the sequesters in the first place?
Yes, I mean, Bob Woodward's book makes that very clear, that it was the White House's idea to provide a trigger to try to force Congress's hands and Democrats and Republicans to get together to make it so severe that nobody would ever want to face these cuts. But what has really happened is just put a series of, I guess the best way to put it would be punting from Congress or kicking the can down the road, and we have had several fiscal deadlines, the first being January 1st. Now we have a March 1st one. We avoided the debt ceiling because Republicans decided that was the fight they wanted to have. But now we have this March 1st deadline looming, and it seems like I'm not sure that they can avoid these cuts this time around because, Republicans are not going to be giving in to the need for more, more tax hikes.
Yeah, my thought right away was, why would John Boehner and Republicans do this, knowing that they've, quite frankly, they've had it put to them, more than once over the past 6 months. Why in the world do you set yourself up again? Why don't you just hold the president's feet to the fire on this?
Yes, I mean, he's the one that's saying it's going to be bad for the economy. So, he's acutely aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they did sort of buckle at the end of the year and on New Year's Day, passing those fiscal cliff deals that had a bunch of new tax hikes in them. So without any spending cuts. So, Republicans are right now today are reacting by saying this was your idea.
Yeah.
You proposed this, so you lay out the outlines that are more amenable to us. That's where we are right now.
One of the other things the president said today, which really annoyed me, is that his claim and the claim of other Democrats is that we've cut the debt to the tune of $4 trillion. Where are those cuts? I haven't seen them. The only thing I see every single day is the debt clock moving from $16.5 trillion even higher. And, how do the American people, look, I'm looking at the screen and I'm seeing the debt rise every single day. Honestly, by the second it's moving up, I haven't seen any paying down of the debt. Why should we believe the guy is going to take any new tax money, and he won't even call it taxes, he calls it tax reform. He wants revenue through tax reform. Come on, that means somebody's paying higher taxes, but they can't even say that. So, what makes you believe the guy's going to take the money and actually apply it to the debt?
Well, they're saying that this is a deficit, long-term deficit reduction. So this is over the course of 10 years. So, yes, I did notice that he used that term tax reform today. And I was like, well, then spell it out. What nobody wants to talk about the loopholes they want to close, because the big loopholes are the mortgage deduction,
right,
as we've talked about before.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to talk about
that. No, that's
that.
True.
It's a very popular program, and it could hurt the housing industry even more. Mm-hmm. So what are you talking about when you talk about tax reform,
mm-hmm,
besides direct tax increases, and we're closing loopholes, but tell me which ones you're going to close, because we all did our taxes recently or are about to, and there are quite a few deductions that the middle class take and are very popular. So, you know, spell it out.
Yeah. All right. One of the cuts I noticed that you wrote about a short while ago could be the Blue Angels program. That would go away after, it seems like, an eternity, huh?
Yes, just for this year, hopefully. But the Navy is really concerned, as the other military branches are, and that this is not going to be avoidable. So they're putting out memos internally, and, of course, they're leaking out to the press, and got a hold of one that was written by the commanding, the Chief of Naval Operations last week. And he said the Blue Angels, for the third and fourth quarters, their programs would just be cut. They would be grounded, and there would be no shows for the rest of the year. Now, you know, this is, people say, okay, well, that's not the most serious thing I've ever heard of. It's nice to have this recruiting device, and it's fun to watch. Very impressive aerodynamic skills up there. I just saw them last September in Oceania. But, you know, what this is really is systemic of what's going on here. There are far more serious cuts, including they're already starting to talk about stopping deployments to the Caribbean, to South America, and to some to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and this also talks about, and this gets into readiness because they're canceling some private contracts for maintenance of their ships and their airplanes. And so, you know, how is that going to affect the Navy if they don't get the needed maintenance to their piers, their docking piers, their actual aircraft and ships? So, you know, it is starting to get serious at the top level of the Pentagon.
All right, now, there is one way they can save some money, and that is by waving goodbye to Leon Panetta, if I read your other story correctly. I mean, it's been costing us $32,000 a week for him to fly home?
Yes, if he will divulge how many times he's been home, which he will not, but it's pretty much been every week. They talked to us. I first approached them, the Pentagon, about this in Panetta's office in 2011 when I got a tip from someone in Monterey, said they see his Gulfstream jet there all the time in Monterey, California, almost once a week. So, you know, I started asking about this, and they, yes, indeed, he had gone home about 14 times at that point, and so that was almost every weekend. And I said, well, you know, aren't you required to pay for some of that? I mean, it's only required, the federal law only requires members of the cabinet to reimburse at the rate of a commercial flight, round trip flight.
Right.
But, you know, the law requires him to use the Gulfstream. So we're really not faulting him for that. It's really this decision to go back home once a week, almost, you know, nearly once a week to California. And he said it helps him clear his mind. Well, you know, rank and file servicemen don't have that option.
Right. $32,000 a week, I could clear my mind.
No kidding. I love the California coast. I'm from California. Now, I would love to go to San Diego every weekend and see my family.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it's not possible, right?
Yeah, you're right.
for average Americans.
Yeah, you're right. All right, Susan, great to talk to you. Folks, if you haven't checked it out, Obama offers plan to sidestep deep sequester cuts. It's in today's Washington Times. We'll talk again. Thanks, Susan.
Thanks so much, Andy. Take care.
You too. 4:47, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.